What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Davidson Hang podcast, where I get to interview amazing people and help share their wisdom with the world. Let me know your takeaways and feel free to connect with the guests. I'm aiming to build a community around coaching, self-development, leadership, where people are not afraid to be their most authentic versions of themselves. You can find us on video by searching the Davidson Hang podcast on YouTube. Welcome and enjoy the ride. Hey everyone, I'm excited to bring you, it's funny how it turned out to be a brown women panel. You know, join us, but you know, he's kind of like, I'm checking out after, you know, I don't want to work after, but I'm excited to bring to you some of LinkedIn's top sales professionals. We have Anu, who is an enterprise relationship manager in LinkedIn Sales Solution. Vishu, who is a mid-market enterprise relationship manager in the High Growth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and Ishu, Isha, you're an enterprise relationship manager in the Talent Solutions. Cool. Yeah. Well, excited to have you all here. My vision is to create like a strong sales community where we can inspire and have a good mentorship program, because I do think there's a lot of younger 18 to 21 year old Asians and South Asians that are thinking about working for a company like LinkedIn, thinking about doing a career in professional sales, and would love your expertise and your guidance on what advice you would give to someone who maybe isn't 100% sure they want to pursue a career in sales.
I can kick it off. Hey guys, Vishu here. Like Davidson mentioned, I work at LinkedIn in sales for the last 2 years. Prior to joining LinkedIn, I was fortunate enough to start my passion in selling when I was 11 years old. I got my first job selling newspapers. And I realized I really enjoyed making money. I think most Asians do, but they associate like being a doctor or engineer or pharmacist with making money. I knew I wasn't going to be a science person, but I always had a business acumen. And at 11, when I realized I got a $500 bonus check to put towards my college fund, like a college savings fund, I realized maybe this is an area I should pursue. And then I got internships from 11 to, throughout my college years. I ended up majoring in marketing. At that time, marketing was probably not one of those popular majors. People actually made fun of me for taking marketing. It was considered like the easy major. What's really interesting, fast forward in this decade, everyone is moving into a digital strategy and a marketing strategy, and that's where people are putting their money. That was just like be my background on how I just started and got into sales.
Thank you.
I can go next. Hi everyone, this is Anu. I actually have the opposite of Vishu's, you know, background, as in I literally had no idea I wanted to be in sales until very recently. I have a typical story, Asian household, Indian parents, you know, wanted me to go to law school. And so post-college, I ended up going to law school. And when I was in law school, I started realizing I really don't like it. But it was a very hard conversation to have with my parents, where I was like, I might want to drop out. And then they were like, nope, there's no conversation about dropping out, you know, in an Indian family. So I decided that I had to find a passion that I would still be able to work on. Let's say I did become a lawyer, or I ended up pursuing like a law firm type of career. So I started a company on millennial marketing. I started doing millennial marketing, influencer marketing on digital platforms like Instagram, et cetera, for small businesses. And that got me really excited about being in the field of marketing, actually. And then my company got acqui-hired, and I started working for a startup. And then there, the CEO was essentially like, I don't know why you're in marketing, you should be in sales. And so literally my response was like, okay. I was not at all like sure about what it would mean to be in sales, but all I knew was, all right, this person knows more than me, and if they see this in me, must be something like that I should explore. And I ended up going into sales, and then one thing led to another, and I'm moving from Boston to San Francisco, and then a couple of years ago, it was actually 2 years, 2 months ago, that a recruiter reached out from LinkedIn, and I was like, let's do this. So I could not be happier to be in sales. I feel so much more joy than I would be if I was a lawyer. But, you know, having that degree brings me some level of joy. But yeah, you're right. Like, it was never something, Davidson, to your point, that my parents ever saw as like a reputable career. But now that I'm in it and I'm so happy and they see me kind of thriving, it's completely changed the way they think about sales. So yeah, the journey was very, you know, all over the place, but I feel pretty happy that I'm here now.
Thank you.
That's awesome. I feel like I have an interesting combination of both of your approaches. But to your point, Anu, I actually never thought about sales as a career myself. And the reason for that is probably twofold. The first of which is I actually never knew of any Indian person or mentor doing that, right? So I had never seen that as an example, as a possibility. But then the second part is that I actually come from a very academic family where, you know, everyone in my family, even to my direct parents, there was always this push for higher education, getting your master's, your MBA. And so that growing up always equaled success, or that's what was taught to us, right? So evidently, then the leap is, okay, you should take a job that requires those types of qualifications or education. So I did that, right? I am the accountant by trade, the CPA. I worked at the Big Four. I got my MBA from U of C, and then I did management consulting. So I totally went through that path. But what was interesting is that in management consulting, when I was looking at, you know, the leaders of management consulting who are partners, I actually saw that they not only did the work, so that you know, high level consulting work, but they also sold work and they brought in business. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I thought to myself, okay, like, obviously I can wait a few years, right, to acquire that skill set that is seen as like the most successful skill set you can have at where I am today, or I can seek it out for myself. And so that's when I kind of pursued LinkedIn in the Chicago office, which is very well known as a sales hub, right? Mm-hmm. And I took sales on as a very intelligent risk at the time, not knowing anyone, you know, in my peer set or in my schools or in my family that had done that path before. So totally a gamble on my end, but I also sought it out as a way to round out my skills and exercise a muscle that I had never learned that I even had in years prior with my different hats on. And so what's really interesting is that I feel like I'm a stronger professional now because I have learned like a very different skill that isn't really taught to us when we're growing up. And it's not specifically those hard skills, but it's very much those soft skills married to those hard skills. And so that's kind of how I landed in sales after doing all of those very typical things that you do in an Indian upbringing, if you will. But I found my way here and really glad that I did.
That's awesome. Yeah, you're right. There's not a lot of like role models to really look up to, right? In terms of, you don't really see a lot of sales managers or enterprise sales reps, like, you know, we're almost like kind of like leading the way for the future generation, right? So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to put together this community. And so like, where do you find like mentorship? Like, how do you guys go out and find, because it's so rare, right? So I guess when you do meet someone, there's that connection, like the instant bond. But where do you go to find, you know, people who you can seek guidance from?
Yeah, I could kick off this one. I think at a very young age, I realized just personally, one of my strengths for pursuing sales was being social and being a relationship person. Early on in college, and most of you may have attested to this, coming from an Indian family, I grew up extremely shy, extremely conservative, didn't have the opportunity to find my true potential and what my personality really was until I got to college. That's when I left my parents' house, went to New York, knew no one. And so I really had to immerse myself into a different environment to channel what those strengths may be. And it was in college, by joining leadership organizations, by pledging a business fraternity, by having extracurricular activities and even taking on a job on campus, work study was where I learned how to network and build relationships with professors and leaders in just college in itself. I think networking in itself would be like the number one thing I would attest to any kind of success in my life, because it was those relationships that got me in the door. A great example I love sharing is how I got to LinkedIn. Right during like the financial crisis in 2008, I was at St. John's University in New York, and nobody was hiring at that time. And I got an internship at Thomson Reuters. And it was a 3-month internship that turned into a 1-year internship with such a good manager. And he kept me on my entire senior year. But one of those people on my team happened to be my boss today. 12 years later, we connected on LinkedIn. And he brought me into this company, you know, 12 years later. So that's just a testament to like the power of networking, whether it's in person or whether it's on a digital platform.
Thank you.
I love that story so much. 10 years, he remembered you.
Yeah. I was a kid. I think I was like 17 or 18 years old.
Love it. I think that kind of, you know, piggybacking on that, so I was 17 when I came to the U.S. and had never actually been here before. And it was like the first time I stepped foot and I was going to a university. I went to Purdue University in Indiana. Not sure if anybody knows. It's actually near Chicago. So
yep.
Chicago's old stomping grounds. And I realized that pretty much nobody looked like me. I not only was brown, Indian, had never been there before. I also had a bit like a big accent. And it was everything that basically like made me feel like the odd one out. And freshman year, it was really tough, right? It was really tough making friends, and it was such a big culture shock. But I realized that the fear was mostly within me when it came to like approaching people. So once I became fearless, almost to the point of like not feeling embarrassed, pretty much everybody I reached out to, whether it was a professor or like an older student or somebody in like a leadership fraternity type place, people were receptive and people were willing to work with me, talk to me, get in touch with me, et cetera. And something I kind of took with me everywhere I went. So, and I feel like that serves me in sales a lot, right? Like just the fearlessness, like with clients, of like asking for the deal, asking for the dollars, or running into a VP and just like having a conversation, right? Like, of course you can't just be like, be my mentor, but just, you know, asking questions and asking for time, right? Like knowing that you're valuable. In fact, one of the leaders in LSS gave me this advice in my first few months at LinkedIn. I remember setting up a meeting with them for kind of like a mentorship type of relationship. But of course I didn't want to, you know, take up too much of their time. So as soon as I walked in, I said, hey, like, if you want to reschedule, it's all good. Like, I know you have a lot going on. And this person sat me down and said, Anu, you are important and you're worthy of my time, and never, ever apologize for taking someone's time and taking space. And it stuck with me, right? Because I was, you know, just trying to do the right thing and not be, you know, not take too much space. But I realized that that's what hurts us. That sort of shy upbringing, that, you know, let's not be a burden. Let's not, you know, get into people's, you know, face. Let's not take up space. Actually hurts us in sales and not just like mentorship opportunities. So just stopped. I was just like, you know, being fearless, taking up space, you know, asking for opportunities, asking for time. It's all sort of like one common thread, because it leads to something more. Right? And that's how I found most of my mentors. And I would say actually most of my mentors are not Indian, whether it's because we don't have a lot of Indian people in sales, or whether it's because it just, you know, happened that way organically. But I found that it hasn't stopped me from, you know, getting in front of the right people. And then of course, asking for the right opportunities. So I would say, yeah, fearlessness and just like kind of being a little bit like not embarrassed of anything. I would say like two pieces of advice.
I have to comment on something you've mentioned. One of my mentors had always said, if you don't ask, you don't know. And that's the number one rule in sales. You can always get a no, but you'll never know if you don't ask. I think that makes somebody incredibly powerful in all areas of life, because sometimes our fear, like you mentioned, can hold us back from really pursuing something. I remember during the LinkedIn Asia Alliance Month, Asian Heritage Month, planning all these events, and I really wanted to have like a prominent speaker, and I was like, best person I could think of was Jay Shetty. I admire him so much. I'm like, I'm gonna have to reach out and pull all my strings and see which one hit. And like one of them hit, and his agent called us back. And the next thing you know, a month later, he was on LinkedIn and talking to us. You just never know. If you don't put it out, you just never know what could potentially happen.
I think that's like the biggest life advice, right? Like to your point, not just sales. I think Madonna has this quote similar to that, like, most people don't get what they want because they don't ask for it, right? Whether it's like asking for the right table at a restaurant or asking for, you know, a promotion, asking for a raise, it's all comes down to just like not being embarrassed and just being fearless. So yeah, I love that you got Jay Shetty to come to LinkedIn. I'm the hugest fan. Yeah. I love him.
Yes, I second that. It was an awesome session. So kudos, Vishu, for making that happen. and asking into success, if you will. But yeah, on the topic of mentorship, I feel like I have, if I think broadly, I feel like I'm picking up mentors in every like stage I'm at. So, you know, whether it's personally, my sister's 5 years older than me. So I always joke that I get to see the crystal ball, you know, 5 years before it happens, and see what she is going through and then help mitigate those risks or plan for them 5 years ahead of time. But then even professionally, I think just given like the number of transitions I've had, I can't really point to a mentor specifically in sales, but I can point to mentors who just really know me, believe in me, and then really want to see me succeed and not be complacent. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really like, to your point, Vishu, like if you don't ask, nothing will happen. And I think that has been a theme that I've tried to embed always in my life of like, break the status quo, ask. If you get rejected, at least you tried, mm-hmm. But you'll land somewhere in the middle. And so I feel like the mentors that I have stuck closest to are ones that celebrate that spirit and then sponsor me and like push me forward. So like each transition I've had, I've clearly had to or needed a sponsor or a cheerleader, right? To like write me a letter of recommendation to be school or, you know, serve as a reference for the next gig. And every time, it's that energy that serves as mentorship for me while also trying for me to kind of pave my own path and learn a new skill set. That I might not have an existing mentor today, but I do have people that believe in me, even if they can't teach me those exact tactics that I need today.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of comments amongst like just breaking the status quo, like not being afraid to be different, not being afraid to ask for what you want. And, you know, if you don't ask, you don't know, right? So that I think that that's such a great, because I think a lot of us have fears, right? Whether it's like, oh, well, everyone else is doing something different. Like, why would I be, you know, why do I want to do something different? I'm curious, when you work with a lot of decision makers, like I think we were just talking about this earlier, there's a lot of it is what middle-aged white male that are, you know, ultimately control the market for a lot of organizations. So I guess like, how can you like relate to or like how can you find common ground? Any advice on, because I do think the C-suite still in this context is still primarily like white, right? And in even more predominant as well. And I know that, you know, you're all women, so.
I just wanted to give like a reference to Anu's awesome anecdote, whereas like when you show up in a room, how do you show up? Right? You say, oh, sorry, do you need to reschedule? Or do you show up with confidence and you have an agenda? And if it doesn't go your way, you can pivot and you can adapt. And it's about like really feeling like you belong in that room. And so I kind of learned how to do that in my, you know, in my client serving role when I was much younger, actually. And I saw this as a huge obstacle. So like while I was in audit, I was like, I don't know, early 20s, and the C-suite would be asking us, you know, if the financial statements looked okay. And my job is to basically tell them that they might have done something wrong. So it's not even consulting or helping, but I'm the bad cop that's saying, hey, I think your accounts receivable is materially misstated. So that's a big accusation to be making to someone who's, you know, decades older than you. And I think in that period of my time, I did second guess my, you know, my worth. I did speak a little bit quieter. I did kind of wait to be asked to lend my opinion. And then a few engagements later, I tried to flip that on its head and I did the exact opposite. And what I saw is that automatically the way I showed up in that room completely flipped the way that my clients talked to me, regardless of how much older they were, regardless of, you know, whether they were also a minority or not. And it totally flipped the script. And so that learning, you know, in my early 20s actually taught me that lesson to always show up in a room like I belong. And I think that has definitely helped me, especially at LinkedIn, when instead of one client, I have 50, right? So I have to keep doing this over and over again, which is something I'm not used to from my previous roles. But that's how I have, you know, faced that obstacle head on.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Isha. I literally have, if I had to name one challenge, is to get executive presence in a room. I'm not going to lie. I think this is probably one area that I probably struggled with this year and last year is that, I mean, I use a lot of great skincare, so I look very young, but I don't look my age. I am much older than my age, but it's hard when someone just looks at you and they can see like a young face or a pretty face and they don't take you seriously. And to like demand that kind of respect takes time and effort. And I will say, book with like ours, with 57 pounds, we have an opportunity every single time to literally showcase value by being confident in our data, being confident in our product, and like what to do for them. And I think that was a turning point in my career at LinkedIn, was getting good at one thing. There was understanding of value or, you know, building the relationship with the clients. I think that was a second piece of it, is like, become friends with them. Like, they're human at the end of the day. Like, connect with them on a personal level. And that in itself will sell you. Because people buy from people they like. But don't always buy, but they buy from people they like and respect. But yeah, I think it relates to your testament. I mean, it's really difficult to have executive presence. I think our upbringing also has helped us. I mean, we grow up with this taking back. And we come with that in our presence when we show up in it, you know, with the thank you. Or I remember one of my sales reps who was Indian used to bring a box of sweets to every client. Because he's like, when we go to someone's home, you always bring a gift, whether it's a bottle of wine or whatever it is, we always bring something. So it's like adding that piece of our cultural element to our client, and they'll ask you, and it's a great tool to share and connect with, right? But yeah, hopefully that answers that question a little bit.
Awesome.
Yeah, plus one to both of you. I think that I definitely feel that, you know, everything you guys just said is like spot on. But one thing I would say is, you know, I kind of like the fact that I'm a brown Indian woman, and I use that to my advantage because they're expecting a white guy who looks like a quarterback, you know, who went to Berkeley, right? And when somebody like me shows up to the room, they're already underestimating me, right? And to Vishu's point, you know, like, you know, looking young or looking pretty, you know, thank you, you know, Indian genes for our skin, right? Like, we're going to always look a little bit younger than we are. But I like that because it gives us a bit of an advantage when we do open our mouth, right? And that boldness and the fearlessness and the confidence and knowing our shit really does make us stand out. And I like to own that, right? And then I think we all are challengers at heart, or we wouldn't be in sales, or we wouldn't be doing well in sales. And I think just like actually honing a little and sharpening that challenger, you know, sale in us a little bit more. So like asking a question that would be a little controversial, or asking a question that would probably, you know, pick at something that might be a vulnerability for the client in a respectful way, of course. I think makes them think that we're equals in this conversation. And, you know, we're coming from a place of teaching and learning. And that always helps me in most of my client conversations, especially when I'm having them with folks who are genuinely like 20 or 30 years ahead of me. You know, whether they're white or male or brown or female, it doesn't matter. They're just genuinely much more experienced. And by virtue of that, they will probably know more, right? But I think that that mentality of like, hey, I know this, like this particular conversation, I know I can own, right? And coming to the table with almost that like fake it till I make it kind of like vibe internally really helps me. And just, yeah, like knowing that like my strength is that I'm going to stand out, right? Like with every other person in the room, like just owning that. That really helps me with my executive.
You know, it's interesting what I did from the sales leadership panel, I know all of you, you know, you guys are all top performers. And then all the managers also have an ability to reframe like what people would consider as like an obstacle or a challenge as a way that's actually like a plus, like actually like in my advantage. So I definitely noticed there's a difference between people who are like killing it versus people that are more like a victim to, well, it's like, oh, you know, they're all like, it's like making an excuse versus, well, actually, I see it as an advantage, and this is what makes me different than everyone else, you know? So that's a common theme I've noticed amongst all you guys. Yeah.
We've got positive attitudes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's important to note that I didn't have this when I was a little younger, right? Like, I've definitely fallen so many times and been in rooms where I felt small, right? And then I've taken advice and listened to podcasts or like read books or like, you know, gotten advice from Mindy Kaling, right? Like, I think these things are honed, and I don't want like a 21-year-old reading this or listening to this and going like, damn, like I don't have that. You know, I guess it's not me. I guess I'm not built for sales. But I think that's important to just like the fact that you're listening to something like this or you're reading a book about it or you're trying to hone your executive presence skills, like that's the right path. You're gonna get there. Like I'm 30. I don't know, Vishu, looks like we're sort of all of the same age. Like we've gained these skills over the years. I definitely was not here 5 years ago. And I know I have a lot more, you know, to learn too. So I think that's important to know.
Yeah, that's a good call out. Like even me predicting to do something like this 2 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, right, you know. It's cool to see how we can just like so quickly in a matter of seconds. But yeah, Mindy is awesome, by the way. Like, I love her. Yeah. And like, she's awesome. And Lily Singh as well. She's like, inspired.
Yeah.
So it's awesome that when people lead the way for like the next generation and, you know, when you start to see it, you're like, okay, like it's possible, you know, but the first one, you're kind of like, oh man, like this is like, there's a lot. You know, I feel like sometimes we put a lot of pressure on ourselves too, you know.
Yeah, and you know, Anu, you made such a good point with, you know, I wasn't like this 5 years ago kind of thing. And I think if we even, you know, step back from our personalities, I think like the times are also not the same that they were 5 years ago. So I would argue that like right now it's almost like cool to be different, right? It's it's cool to have a different weekend story of what you did. And I think that LinkedIn specifically celebrates that to make you feel more valued. If you are offering a different perspective. And I think like an interesting example of this was last year during Diwali. And it was maybe it was 2 years ago, but it was a hard quarter and people were feeling kind of down. And I remember that we had a Thanksgiving team meeting at my manager's house. And, you know, the sentiment was, it's a hard quarter, things seem dark, but we're going to get out of it. And my manager actually turned to me and she said, "Hey, Isha, I know you wanted to share a few things about Diwali. I think that would be appropriate at this time." And it was so amazing because I brought a little candle for each person on our team. And I said, "Hey, Diwali is the festival of life. It's looking at good, you know, good over bad, positivity over negativity, like kindness over like ill intention. And so while we are in this rut or so it seems. Like, I think we all have something to look forward to. So I'd like to go around the room, everyone say something you are grateful for, and light your candle. And everyone did that in the dining room table of my manager's living room on Thanksgiving. And we all celebrated Diwali. And the fact that that could happen and that it was applauded instead of like, oh, that's different, that's kind of weird. That has, like, the stories like that have positively reinforced me over and over and over to, like, embrace the cool, special things that we do bring, because chances are everyone else will also appreciate it. Like, the time is very accepting of those things now.
Mm. That's a very cool story. Thank you for sharing.
Shout out to Suzanne Krakover if she's hearing this.
That's part of our culture. I mean, I think that was probably the number one reason I took a job at LinkedIn, was like, they embrace diversity, inclusion, and belonging like no other company I've ever met. But we are so proud of this culture. And to be able to have organizations and ERGs like the LinkedIn Asian Alliance to even tap into that even more and share it with other folks across the organization and even in other companies, and we do mixers one day and we can all get together.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. Like, I remember, like, some transformative moments in my life, even like the Ramadan event was like blowing for me. I was like, whoa, I had no idea all this stuff, you know? And I feel like not many companies have that opportunity where, like, every day I can learn more about, you know, like, things. Like, even Black Lives Matters, I'm pretty sure if I worked at a different company, I wouldn't be growing as much. But because it's, you know, we're taking a stand, I'm like, whoa, like, there's a lot that I need to look at myself, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm curious about, you know, we talk a lot about, like, empowering, like, your heritage and being different. I mean, during times when you do feel like, because I do think, like, Western values are a little bit different in the sense that it celebrates, like, the individual, right, expressing yourself. And but I do think, like, Eastern culture tends to be more like, well, you have to think about your family and you have to think about, like, you know, the collective society, right? I feel like there's that saving face component that sometimes, like, I don't necessarily agree with. Like, I don't know, like, how does that affect, like, your sales and you know, how you approach your sales process and all that?
I think that's an interesting question. I don't have a thorough answer to this, but I will say, in terms of sales, I mentioned earlier, like, I love being Indian and I love embracing my culture in my job. And when it comes to, like, just with my working with my clients, like, Diwali was a great example. I remember I sent every South Asian client that I knew a happy Diwali, or if it's a Ramadan, I'd send them a note. But I always try to acknowledge different cultures, and if I know that celebrates it, just sending them a quick note or a quick text and just giving a little bit of acknowledgement goes a really long way, because you're not connecting on a business level now, you're connecting on a personal level, and that's where it starts. That's when you start, right? You don't come off as a salesperson, and I think that's a huge thing to understand about sales. There's already a connotation that, you know, all you want is to get something out of that person, but when they know your heart's in a good place and that you're there more than just dollars that are coming your way, it goes a long way in building a long-term strategic partnership instead of a short-term transactional one.
Thank you.
Ken and I are looking at ourselves, like, who's going next?
go for it.
I just said that. Davidson, I have to say, like, I'm not 100% sure, like, what the question was.
Yeah, so that's a good clarifying question. Kudos to you.
and it's recorded.
I was just thinking, like, I feel like sometimes, like, you know, like, I guess your typical, like, what you would expect, like I think you guys mentioned it, like, you have to kind of, like, apologize, or you don't own the space, or, you know, you, it's like the agenda, like, setting a strong agenda. I think I guess it ties back to the executive presence part. I feel like sometimes Eastern culture kind of like, hey, like, you got to make everyone happy, say thank you to the aunties and the uncles, and, you know, there's a lot of, like, apologizing, or, like, you know, I guess in our case, like, bowing down, you know?
Yeah. Okay, that makes total sense. All right. Thank you for clarifying. I would say I have an internal story for this. This is not client-facing. This is actually an internal story. So I think one of the major tenets of Indian culture, especially when it comes to women, is being sort of like a diminished version of yourself. I don't know if that makes sense. So never sort of tooting your own horn, and never self-praising, and never, you know, grabbing attention to yourself, never trying to talk about your wins. That really hurt me in the beginning when I joined sales. And I have to say, I still haven't mastered this. This is definitely like a weakness of mine. So, you know, we would have these sort of, you know, sales meetings where we would all go around and be like, what was your win of the week? Or what was your win of the month or whatever, right? And I remember I would break into cold sweats when I had to talk about myself. I swear to God, it was so hard. And I would just be like, I landed this big renewal, and then, like, next person, right? And my entire thing would be 5 seconds to 10 seconds, and other people would go on and on and on. And I was just like, what is it? To me, I was like, that's bad, right? Like, why are you taking up so much space talking about yourself and your win? Your work speaks for itself. Like, actions speak louder than words, right? That's what our Indian parents always teach us. Like, let your work speak for itself. And so I remember my manager called me, and kudos to him, Quasi Graves, by the way, shout out. He said, Anu, do you realize, like, LinkedIn's culture and most of corporate America, you have to be the one that builds that personal brand and helps your, you know, your own case to get promoted and get in front of leadership and get in front of the right people. So if you don't talk about your wins, no one knows, right? Like, no one's checking leaderboards to see, like, who's number one. You know, and rightfully so, like, you shouldn't have to just look at someone's numbers to figure out, like, whether they should be promoted. It's about their overall personality as a whole, right? So it was so hard for me to understand that concept, because I was like, so what do you mean I'm supposed to be, like, in these meetings and talk about myself? And he was like, no, you're talking about your work, and in a way, you're teaching, right? Like, you might share a win, and you might share a strategy that might actually help other people. So don't think of it as tooting your own horn. Think of it as sharing a skill set, right? Such a new concept to me, just completely boggled my mind. And so I started with, like, a little, like, bit by bit to actually share my wins, share my stories, and I'm nowhere close. I think sometimes I overdo it, sometimes I underdo it. It's always a mess. But I think to me that was, like, a big cultural change, something that was, like, holding me back that I had to kind of, like, slowly shed and, like, let go of. So it doesn't matter so much in, you know, client meetings, because you're, like, you have their attention. You're, like, one-on-one. It's, like, you, like, the LinkedIn team and the client team. But internally, you're kind of competing with, you know, all the white guys and all the brown guys and the black guys, right? And, like, you diminishing yourself doesn't help at all. So I would say that's one thing that came to mind when you asked that question.
Yeah.
I feel like in terms of when you just mentioned the idea of, like, family and sales, I think the first thing that comes to my mind is that it's so interesting. When I took this role on, like, obviously my role comprises of being consultative, but then also growing the business and selling products that I've convinced my clients will help them in their goals. But it's so interesting because even when I, you know, described my role, I would lean more on the consultative part when explaining it to my family and lean less on the sales part. And the reason for that, you know, I think this comes down to bias, right? But I think there's this bias and maybe this lack of awareness, because it's not very commonplace, that there's this, like, stereotype that sales equals this spammy telemarketer caricature, you know, that we know is so, so far removed from, you know, a tech giant like LinkedIn, and sales is the number one way that they generate revenue, right? So I think there's this bias. And I think when I first started off, I was like, yeah, you know, like, consulting, that's what I do. And if they buy product, yay. But now I've started to lean in more and say, like, hey, you know what? Like, there's a reason I'm here. There's a reason LinkedIn is bought by Microsoft, which is killing the game I'm part of the front lines of that revenue generating stream. And this is an opportunity for me to educate on how I got here, how I'm seeing a lot of utility and ROI in this role. And if I'm not the one to kind of demystify that myth, then who will? Who else will? And so that's kind of what I think of when you mention like family and sales. It's just like that underlying bias that I have grown to debunk.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's very relatable because I do think, I mean, South Asians are pretty much the same as like all other Asians. But yeah, you know, when you think of sales, they're like, oh, you know, like if, when a parent's bragging, they'll probably brag more about their daughter or son who's a doctor than, you know, is in sales, right? So it's up to us to kind of like demystify that actually, like, I have a great career and I'm happy, I make good money, you know, but people don't know that because it's just not as common, you know.
I don't think there's a misconception on like how much money people actually make in sales. Like, I tell my parents one day, they're like, what? I'm like, I can do more than a doctor, just so you know.
I was just going to say, like, there's such a misconception about sales. And I know that I'm definitely making more money than I would as a lawyer. And you just always assume that that's sort of, you know, the best career out there if you're not going for like medicine. I know medicine's sort of like the top, takes a top space. And I think that's like a role that we all need to play, right? Like, evangelize this career in the Indian community or the Asian community. Like, let people know, like, to Isha's point, telling them that we are in sales. Like, we're like literally front line of this company's revenue generating arm, which by the way is like the hardest skill set to have. Everybody I tell that I'm in sales always sort of questions me, like, you mean like sales? I'm like, yes, sales, like enterprise, right? And people always have so much respect for it outside of that Asian community, right? Because it's a hard thing to do. It's a hard job, right? Let's be honest. Always having that number hanging on your neck is not easy. So I think that the onus is on us to actually talk about like the real sales of like what we actually do versus, you know, kind of like the stories we make up. So I love your point, Isha. That was a really, really powerful point to actually talk about like what we really do in terms of like the hard work we put in.
Awesome. Well, I know, I think you have a meeting now, right? So I'll wrap up. Well, I really appreciate this conversation. There's so much gold here. I think we'll be having more of these conversations. So I really appreciate everyone's contributions. I think this will definitely resonate with a lot of people who want to choose a career in sales, professional sales. So thanks, everyone.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Well, that's it, folks. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe and let me know what your thoughts are, if there were any takeaways. I welcome all positive and constructive feedback and hope you enjoy. Stay tuned for more interesting stories and guests. Take care.